Last Gentleman Standing, written by Jane Ashford and read by Lucy Scott.
Chapter 1. Mr. Julius Tilling, a very sober and correct middle-aged gentleman, conservatively attired in black worsted, had only just been admitted to Elham House in Berkeley Square, when he perceived a teacup hurtling through the air immediately in front of him. He stepped back, hastily, jostling the young footman who had opened the door to his knock and causing him to so far forget himself as to say, "Here now, hold hard!" Ignoring this suggestion, Tilling watched the cup shatter on the drab wallpaper of the entrance hall. He looked less surprised than vexed at this unusual occurrence. "I take it that Mr. Elham has the gout," he said to the footman. "Yes, sir," replied the harried-looking servitor. "Took bad, he is." Through the open door of the library, whence the teacup had also come, a voice high and shrill with age could be heard crying,
"Swill! A dying man and I'm given swill! Take it away! Take it away! And send that damned fool Amos to me at once!"
There was a rattling of crockery, and amid mutterings of,
"I shall teach him to send me gruel! And let a man but get old, and the servants begin to bully him!"
A frightened young maid hurried out of the room carrying a tray. Mr. Tilling surveyed her with raised eyebrows as he handed his hat to the anxious footman.
"Very bad he is today, sir," added the servitor unnecessarily. "The doctor has been twice."
The voice from the library continued irascibly. Apparently Mr. Elham was talking to himself.
"Where is that dratted solicitor? Graceless young jackanapes. Firm's all to pieces since his father died. Can't think why I keep him on. For what I pay, he might come when I summon him."
This gradually sank into a confused mumbling, accompanied by sounds of coughing and of a chair being hitched along the floor. Mr. Tilling sighed, straightened his shoulders, and walked into the library, wishing yet again that his most difficult client did not always insist upon seeing him when he was laid up with the gout. "Good morning, Mr. Elham," he said in a pleasant tone as he crossed the large room towards the fireplace. "I understand you're feeling poorly today. I am sorry." Mr. Elham snorted. He was sitting in a large easy chair before the fire. One leg was swathed in bandages and propped on a hassock in front of him, and he was so bundled in blankets and shawls that his dressing gown of bottle green brocade was scarcely visible. His head was completely bald, and this, combined with a hook nose and a high colour, made him resemble an old vulture. He looked at his guest with a mixture of suspicion and contempt.
"Ha!" he said. "No good trying to turn me up, sweet Tilling. I'm old and I'm ill, but I'm not senile quite yet."
He grimaced.
"No, and not about to stick my spoon in the wall. You don't like me and I don't like you, so let us get down to business and cut the gabble-mongering. Have you done what I asked?"
Mr. Tilling's countenance was wooden and his accents cold.
"Yes, sir." He took some papers from his coat pocket. "I have located all three young people and ascertained their circumstances."
Mr. Elham ignored the sheaf of documents being offered him and squinted up at the younger man.
"What should I do with those blasted things?"
he asked, blinking his watery blue eyes.
"Put 'em there."
He waved impatiently toward the desk in the corner of the room.
"And tell me about 'em. My heirs,"
he cackled. His scratchy laugh turned quickly to a cough, and it was some time before he could control it. Looking annoyed, Mr. Tilling walked slowly to the desk, put the papers on its littered surface, and returned to the fireplace. Elham, who was just regaining his breath, signalled peremptorily for him to speak.
"Yes, sir," responded Tilling. "Your potential heirs."
He took a small note card from an inner pocket and referred to it.
"Both your brother and your sister..."
"Don't mention 'em,"
screeched Mr. Elham malevolently.
"Sneaking, whining rascals. I swore 20 years ago I'd never hear them named again.